Welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We've got our resident German football expert. He was on last week giving us the Champions League build-up and he did such a good job. You know what? We've decided to bring him back once again to give us the build-up to Bayern Munich against Juventus tonight in the Champions League and also have a look back at the extraordinary scenes yesterday between Borussia Dortmund and Malaga. Kit Holden joins us on World Football Daily today. Kit, how are you doing today, my man?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
I'm doing okay, doing okay. I'm not going to lie to you. Before we get into this, I was siding with Malaga last night. I thought going into the game I didn't have a favourite, but I did find myself wanting the Spanish side to go through. So a little bit of heartbreak for myself, but you must be a very happy man today after seeing that incredible late comeback.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, yeah, as you say, I mean, I don't think anyone was delighted to see Malaga go out because they had a great tournament as well. And Pellegrini's done wonderful things there, and you know, everyone would have been, I think, very, very happy to see them go through as well. But for Dortmund, I mean, phenomenal. I mean, I think even at 1-1, before the Malaga scored their second, people were beginning to think that over the two legs, Dortmund had thrown it away and they wasted too many chances, and you know, somehow that they'd got this far and gone out to really an inferior opponent. And then when the second goal went in, I think everyone thought that, and it was a done deal, so to speak. And then, you know, as German football has experienced before in the Champions League, it only takes a few minutes and often the last few minutes. And they've had a little bit of luck, obviously, because the third goal was almost undoubtedly offside. But I think, you know, Jurgen Klopp was saying after the game that regardless of that, I think it's fair to say that however unfair it is on Malaga, Dortmund were the better side over two legs. And I think that's true. I think, you know, despite all the chances they missed, I think they were more creative. They were the dominant team, and really, although it is, yeah, it's sad for Malaga, Dortmund deserves to go through.
With Dortmund being at this point now in the Champions League, obviously through for the draw on Friday for the semi-finals, and so many chances missed against Malaga over the two legs overall. Will we see them taking almost using the Bundesliga as warm-up practice now for the Champions League semi-finals that will be coming up later on this season? Because in front of goal, they have been missing a lot of chances.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think that's been the case all season. I've said on this show many times that, you know, the Bundesliga has been out their sights for a long time now, and that's given them the freedom to play without sort of inhibition in the Champions League. And I think maybe the one thing that, I mean, first thing you have to say is Caballero had two brilliant games against Dortmund in this tie. So, you know, they were kept out not only by themselves wasting chances, but also a fantastic goalkeeper. But I think they'll go into the semi-final riding on this wave now. And also they'll be playing whoever they get in the draw, you'd imagine, unless PSG do something very, very amazing or you know, perhaps on the same level as Juve. But if it's Bayern, Barcelona, or Real in the semis, which it looks like it will be, then they will be the underdogs, and I think they'll thrive on that atmosphere. I think they like going into games with having nothing to lose, and I think they'll feel perhaps a little less under pressure than they did against Malaga. But yeah, certainly, I think the Bundesliga, you know, they've got, you know, absolutely no pressure domestically now, so yeah, they'll be looking to use it as warm-up and shooting practice, certainly.
And also maybe a bit of defensive practice as well for set pieces, because last night Malaga getting a hell of a lot of joy from a couple of set pieces, and Di Michaelis and Joachim getting extremely open and free inside the 18-yard box on some of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you have brilliant central defenders like Mats Hummelsson and Nevin Subotic, and they're fantastic at playing ball along the floor and controlling the pace of the game and getting forward, as we saw last night, but they can leave you a little bit exposed in the air from set pieces. Bayern often have the same problem, as we've seen in the few times they have been weak this year. But I think, you know, I mean, last night, again, let's face it, I mean, it was their worst performance in the Champions League this season, that first half last night. And, you know, they were letting, I mean, the incident at the end of the first half where Joachim had about 5 yards of space on his own in the penalty area was appalling. But I don't think you can say that's you know, how Dortmund normally play. So yeah, they'll be looking to correct those errors, but I think generally for Dortmund, that, you know, that being slightly exposed to set pieces isn't going to worry them too much, because they know they can outscore most teams that they'll come up against, even the big guns, even Barcelona, Bayern, or Real.
You mentioned as well, Klopp after the game obviously was very excited, and everybody in a Dortmund shirt or wearing the Dortmund badge last night was in absolute hysterics at the end of that game. Does that make it slightly harder to go back and break down this sort of match when it finishes with such a crescendo like that? To suddenly go back and start actually analysing it detail by detail and picking out the mistakes and the flaws. Do you think it'll be a little more difficult than if they'd say 1-2-1 with a straightforward victory or something like that?
No, in fact, I think it'd be easier because I think that, you know, for example, Bayern, after the second leg against Arsenal, they came out of that game, although they qualified, you know, with their heads down, knowing that that was a really, really dispiriting performance from them. And it's almost more difficult then to sort of come to terms with that. whereas when you've won the game in the manner that they did for Dortmund, I think, you know, there was no kind of, they weren't hiding the fact that they played poorly in the first half, and they weren't hiding the fact that they should have won it a lot more easily. But I think, you know, it'll have twofold, and then they'll be able to address those issues that came up. But they'll also have this wave of optimism and of excitement that will hopefully sort of drive them through the semi-finals. And, you know, I don't think, I mean, again, with Dortmund, they're often, although they've been cast as favourites and dark horses from the start of this tournament, they are still overachieving, if you like, in the Champions League, considering that they've only been at the top level of German football for a few years and European football now only for a season. So they're still riding that wave of excitement, and it's all new to them. And I think, you know, any positive emotion is a good thing for a team like that. It's never going to mask issues that they might need to address.
Kit, you mentioned that they are going to be the underdogs probably going into these semi-final fixtures in the Champions League. And you look at this Dortmund side, we've been raving about it on World Football Daily for a while in terms of the talent and the players that they've got. But a lot of these players, you know, haven't been able to or haven't had the chance to make that impact on the European stage. What's happened to, over the course of this Champions League season, to Marco Reus, to Lewandowski, to Götze, in terms of their pedigree among some of the world's elite? Because especially Lewandowski just failed to show it at the Euros last summer, but this season the top scorer in for Dortmund in the Champions League has looked excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Dortmund is that it's a lot of young players put together, a lot of very, very young, very, very talented players put together who have little experience at the top level, but certainly enough quality to perform there. And I think that has sort of two consequences, if you like, in it. One is that when they all come together, they are, I mean, that's part of Dortmund's brilliance, is that not only do they have brilliant players, but as a unit, they work fantastically. The first goal they scored last night was a perfect example of that. You know, brilliant pass to Reus, and then a brilliant flick from him, and then a fantastic finish from Lewandowski. So they work brilliantly as a unit, and that I think that unit has, even if it's sort of dropped off in Germany this in the domestic campaigns this year, it's almost even more consolidated than it was a year ago, certainly at the start of the last season. It also, one thing it does do as well is that regardless of how good they are and how talented they are, you have to kind of bear in mind that they are all still inexperienced, both as a group and as individuals. But again, like I say, that almost gives them, when they've got enough quality around them, which they do with Dortmund, which they perhaps wouldn't with Poland or maybe even some of the players like Bender or Gundogan, who are on the fringes of the national side or have been in recent years. With Dortmund, they're first team players, and they're well gelled, and they've got quality around them, and they feel comfortable in that environment. And that's very important for how Dortmund plays, that kind of element of comfort. And they've allowed to, because they've been left pressure domestically this year, they've allowed that to kind of affect their European football. And they've gone into it with absolutely no fear and no inhibition, and it's proven itself in the way they've played and the results they've got.
And it's been a wonderful tournament for them, and watching them has just been an absolute joy for all European football fans and the way they've played. And another team that's brought plenty of joy to the neutral in Champions League football has been Bayern Munich. But before we talk about their matchup with Juventus coming up this evening, Kit, let's hark back to the weekend and finally just getting the job done. I say finally, but it has felt like this has been coming for a long time, wrapping up the Bundesliga title.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, they've won the tournament. They won the league earlier than anyone's ever done it before, and yet it feels like they've taken ages to do it because for so long it's been obvious that they would. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, again, that's one of the things we really have to praise Bayern for this year, is that they've just been so consistent. They've never, ever let their foot off the gas, which they've been want to do in recent years, whether they've won the title or not. And this year there's just been, it's just been relentless. I mean, it's 13 wins in a row now in 2013. They haven't dropped a single point. You know, they're breaking records all over the place. They've got a few more to break yet, and it's amazing, and it gives them a certain kind of authority, I think, when they go into the Champions League matches as well. They know how dominant they're being in Germany, and with the quality of the Bundesliga having risen, that's no small feat. So again, in a kind of flip, in the inverse of what Dortmund has gone, it's affected their European football because it's given them that confidence. But they have. I mean, it's, you know, the Frankfurt game was kind of classic because, you know, they didn't dominate. They won 1-0 and they missed a penalty, and it wasn't the best Bayern performance we've ever seen. But a couple of players were being rested, and they just got the job done, and that's what they can do. And, you know, the week before that, they saw the other side of them where they win 9-2, and they're an absolute showcase team. And I think that's the thing. They've got the fight now, which they perhaps didn't have last year, and they've kept the flair that they did, and made it even better, and it's showing.
Kit, is there a temptation now? You mentioned they rested a number of players going into the game this week against Juventus. Will there be a temptation to start playing reserve teams almost throughout this, the remainder of this league campaign, with it all wrapped up, and therefore giving them so much focus on, you know, bringing in this unbelievable treble that now lays in front of them?
I think there might be a small temptation, but I don't think, I mean, there's two reasons why I don't think that happened. Partly because the squad is so strong that there isn't really a reserve team, and it's only a few players like like Timoshuk or Gustavo who are perhaps are noticeably under the level of the first 11. But also, I think they're really keen now to, and they were saying it after, the few players were saying it after the Frankfurt game, that they're so keen to break as many records as possible. I mean, I think they can still break the record for goal difference. They can still beat Dortmund's points record. They can still just about, if they score a lot of goals, they can beat the goal scored record. I mean, a lot of these are their own records anyway, but they're keen to do that. They're keen to show just how dominant they are. I don't think they're going to let off the pace too much. I mean, you know, you might see, you know, players like Ribery or Schweinsteiger or Martinez sort of rested for Champions League games, particularly if it gets to the final and things. But I don't think they're going to kind of just let the league go now. I think they're really going to go for it and see how many records they can break.
And all fair play to them for doing that. This is an incredible Bayern Munich side. You mentioned the depth in this squad. And do we see any changes at all, do you think, from the side that played Juventus last week to tonight's game? Is there a temptation to take your foot off the gas at all, or is it all guns to blazing going out tonight against Juve?
It's very much all guns blazing. Well, not so much all guns blazing as very much head in the game, as it were, because I think Arsenal was a big wake-up call for them when they thought they were through and very nearly got knocked out against a hugely inferior opponent. So I think even though tonight, you know, it would have to be something amazing from Juve to get through, Bayern won't, you know, Bayern will I'd imagine, be very, very keen not to let that happen and to show that they can dominate over two legs. You know, they'll be looking to get that first goal because the first goal will take off a lot of pressure because that'll make it so Juve need to score four to go through. So, you know, they won't be going all guns blazing, if you like, but they'll be looking to put in a really, really clinical and superior performance, certainly, because Arsenal was a massive wake-up for them.
With Lichtsteiner out, does that mean the focus once again is on the middle of that midfield and the key for Bayern is closing that down? And they did so well in that in the first leg. Can they replicate that away from home?
I think they can. I mean, I think, you know, tactically there's no reason why not. They dealt with Pirlo fantastically in that first leg, as you said. I think that's they've got a superior, even with Kroos out, they've got a superior midfield and they should be able to do that. The psychologically, it could be interesting. I mean, there's this talk in Bild today of Juve players going after Ribery and targeting him after his sort of, he got away with that sort of quite harsh challenge on I can't remember who it was now, but they, you know, is it, they're trying to get in sort of psychological bonuses, if you like, Juve. Vucinic, I think, came out with this quote that it would be like a war, which Bayern reacted very angrily to. And there's almost like Juve are beginning to already play the mind games and try and get under Bayern's skin because they know that that might actually be one of the main ways in which they can beat them. And I think if Bayern can resist that, and they look like they will, it looks like they're brushing it off quite well and going about it very professionally. You know, Ribery said he's not going to let himself be provoked if he does feel himself targeted and all the rest of it. So I think psychologically, you know, that's the way Juve appear to be going about it. But then that is the view of the German press, I have to say. So it's obviously going to be a bit biased. But I think tactically and in terms of technical superiority, they should win that midfield battle. Yeah.
Who's going to be sitting behind Mandzukic tonight, Kit? Because obviously Robin didn't start the last game, but a number of people expecting him to be in this front three behind Mandzukic with Ribery and Muller. Do you think Robin does come in and they try and stretch it out away from home?
Yeah, I think he will. I think Robin will start because I think that's the natural. I mean, it's often, you know, one of the comments after Kroos got injured was that it almost makes Heynckes' job easier because he doesn't have this issue of Muller and Robin and which to pick on the right. And that's true. Yeah, Muller can slot in behind the striker very, very, very easily, and he can play in either position fantastically. And I think I'd be very surprised to see him play anyone else but Robin, because I mean they're not going to, you know, sit back and defend their lead. This is, you know, this is Bayern we're talking about. They're not going to try and play for the 0-0. They're going to go and try and win the game. So and get that early goal, because that will just, as I say, just release the pressure massively. And if a player like Robin can do what Alaba did in the first leg, then suddenly we could be looking at a much nicer 90 minutes than if they concede one like they did against Arsenal.
Kit, we know Pep Guardiola is coming in at the end of this season. We know that Jupp Heynckes is stepping away from Bayern Munich, but retirement was initially what we heard. Now it seems that Heynckes could be possibly doing a U-turn. Do you think that's likely at all, that Heynckes decides to go to a different club instead or doesn't step away from the management game completely?
I think it's very likely. I mean, the impression that you get from the you know, these messages that are coming out is that the retirement message was actually misguided, and someone kind of implied it, whether it was someone in the board or some intern on the Bayern website, who knows, but it was implied, and actually Heynckes was a little annoyed about that, because, or very annoyed about that in fact, because that didn't appear to be his intention. And he, you know, the messages we're getting from Heynckes at the moment is that he wants to carry on in management. And I think, you know, Bayern were very careful that, you know, they're a bit upset that happened, because they're being very careful to make the split with Heynckes as nice as possible, because obviously when they first split with him in the early 90s, it was very, very messy. And it, you know, Uli Hoeneß says it's his one big regret is sacking Heynckes so quickly. So they were trying to do it in as polite and as friendly a way as possible, and they kind of nearly messed it up again. But I think, yeah, Heynckes is, I mean, he's the oldest man ever to win the Bundesliga now, but he's showing no signs of letting up. I mean, he's still tactically, you know, an absolutely fantastic manager, and you know, I think any club will be happy to have him, whether it's someone like Schalke or, you know, who knows. But I can't really see him going abroad. I might be wrong, but I think he'll probably stay in the Bundesliga. You know, there'll be a few jobs going around. So I can see him taking over a new club, certainly.
Could it unsettle the ship slightly going into maybe not tonight, but possibly the semi-finals or even the German Cup? Could this be a potential stumbling block for Bayern if Heynckes and the club start to kind of fall out over this?
Well, it could, but I think that kind of wave of discontent, if you like, has already been dealt with. I mean, it came up quite quickly after the announcement of Guardiola happened, and I think, you know, Heynckes expressed his sort of displeasure, if you like, with the way they worded that quite quickly, and there was an apology, and you know, that's all been worked through, I think, now. And I think, you know, the relationship is as strong as it ever was, and I think they're, you know, even if it isn't there, they're doing very well in making it look like it is, and, you know, because they know that Bayern don't need any of those psychological distractions anymore. So, you know, and all the players are completely behind Heynckes as well. I mean, you know, they're playing for him, and he saw the joy when they were throwing him up in the air on Saturday when they won the league. So, you know, it's a very strong relationship between manager and squad, and that's the main thing. And I think it's still a strong relationship between manager and board. And certainly, you know, in the public view, they you know, they put on a very good show and make it look like everything's dandy at the club. So I can't see that being an issue.
Kit, just finally before we go, just back to the Bundesliga action quickly, and the Hoffenheim and Augsburg battling for to avoid the automatic relegation drop and go into that playoff game. Augsburg really did struggle, of course, on the weekend against Borussia Dortmund, and Hoffenheim getting a huge win against Fortuna Dusseldorf on Friday. Are these two going to be going for tit for tat now for the remainder of the season? Is this the most exciting battle left in the Bundesliga?
I don't think it's the most exciting one, because I mean, I think, you know, the European spots are still pretty exciting. It looks like Schalke will probably get fourth, but you don't know, and there's enough games left that, you know, down to sort of Hannover and Hamburg and, you know, ninth and tenth, any of those teams could still get a European spot, if not a Champions League spot. So I think that's still the most exciting one. Well, or equally as exciting anyway as the relegation battle. What's interesting with the relegation battle is that teams like Dusseldorf are now beginning to be dragged into it a bit more, whereas sort of a few weeks ago it looked like there was only three teams that were ever going to finish in those bottom three spots. You know, Augsburg had a very, very good spell recently that appears to have dried up a little bit in most recent weeks. But, you know, they that's helped them a lot, and that's pulled other teams down into the mire. So, you know, Hoffenheim and Augsburg are still the two main candidates to go down with Fürth, I think, or to get those, you know, those two last places, one of which is a playoff place. But I think there are other teams who, if they're not careful, could be dragged in. And I think that's what both Hoffenheim and Augsburg will be looking to do, is push as much as they can towards not only getting that playoff place, but also perhaps even getting beyond it, because there's a chance now that they could get automatic survival if they really, really perform in the last few games.
The title race may have been over for the last few months, but there's plenty still left to fight for in the Bundesliga. Kit, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, mate, before the games tonight. I'm very glad that you were back on the winning side of a last-minute comeback for once, and we look forward to getting you back on World Football Daily as soon as possible, mate.
Thanks a lot, mate. All the best.
Cheers, mate. Kit Holden joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Bundesliga in preparation for tonight's big game between Bayern Munich and Juventus in the Estadio. Juventus, do they have a chance? Will there be inspiration taken from the performances of Galatasaray? They came up short against Real Madrid, but still got a win. That sort of performance could be vital for Juventus. They would love to take that sort of a performance and replicate it this evening against Bayern Munich. And of course, Borussia Dortmund, you have to take solace in the fact that you are never, ever beaten with a come-from-behind win like that last night. Two goals in stoppage time for Dortmund sees them booking their place in the Champions League semi-finals. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily. When we come back, we're going to be getting ready for the two big games tonight. Barcelona taking on PSG. No Lionel Messi, possibly. Can Cesc Fabregas come in and do the job to replace him? We'll find out in just a moment here on WFD.